Jeremiah 13, verse 23 says this, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots?" Stop right there. I don't want to do part B of that verse, just the first one, just part one. "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots?" Several years ago, I got into a discussion with a Calvinist. Now, I'm not a Calvinist, nor am I an Arminian. Do you hear me? I've always had this problem. If the doctrine is named after a person, something's wrong. And I always thought, well, you know, you're not going to see Calvin or Arminius before the Reformation, because they were part of the Reformation. Both of them, I think Calvin was a Catholic seminarian when he came up with this doctrine called Calvinism. And from what I understand, Arminius worked for Calvin, but didn't agree with him, so he came up with his own method or his own understanding or his own interpretation of scriptures. I always thought, well, if Calvinism is so true, or Arminianism is so true, then what did the church do for the first 1,500 years when they had neither one of them? Do you understand? But anyways, that's a message for a different time. Anyways, part of Calvinism teaches predestination. Now, predestination, in the word you'll find predestined in the Word of God, but it doesn't mean what we think it means. It means foreknowledge. God knew before He created the entirety of the world what every one of us were going to do, what we were going to be like, what we were going to believe, sins we were going to commit. God knew it. He told Jeremiah, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb." Do you hear me? Nothing that we do or don't do surprises God, because God knows. Now, he told me, we were talking about predestination. Now, if you believe in predestination, then you don't believe in free moral agency. What does that mean, Pastor? That means I have the God-given right to choose, to make up my own mind where I want to go, what I want to do, who I want to be with. You understand? Calvinism, in its purest form, teaches, no, you don't. God's already got it orchestrated. God already got it written down. God's already got it planned, and you have to stay on that plan. Then are you trying to tell me that He created some to go to heaven and some to go to hell? And the answer to that is yes. But the Bible says no. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. Do you hear me? They also have this thing called the elect. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 24, the elect. He said, confusion and deception will be so strong in the last days that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Well, who are the elect? According to Calvinism, it are those ones who God had chosen before the foundation of the world to be saved and go to heaven. It's not. The elect are the remnant. Those who have forsaken everything in order to follow God on God's terms. Not on their terms, not on their church's terms, not on their mama's terms. On God's terms. Do you understand that? The average church member today serves the God of Psalms 50. I forgot what. Turn to Psalms 50. I'll give you a description of the average church member today, in this day that we live. Psalms 50. Got it? When you got it, say amen. Now I want you to go to Psalms 50, verse 21. Read this. You ready? "These things now thou hast done." God's talking now. These things thou hast done. Now he's talking about sin. If you'll read the verses before that, specific sin, stealing and evil and all kinds of deceit. And he says, "These things thou hast done, and I kept silence." Thou, listen, why did he keep silence? Because the understanding of God, the description of God, the character of God, the attributes of God had been made up or imagined in the hearts and in the minds of those that wanted to get ministered to. Listen to me. See, he said, thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. What does that mean, Pastor? You thought I was like you. Come on. God told the children of Israel, you thought I was like you. Guess what? Isaiah said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. God says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. You're not like God, and God's not like you. And God doesn't have the same feelings you have. God doesn't have the same emotions you have. God doesn't whine when he doesn't get his way. Hello. We're babies. We're taught today that God is like us. If you want something, just tell God you want it. Declare it. Decree it. No. Now listen to me. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Anyways, the man went on talking, trying to convince me of predestination. And when we brought up free moral agency and we brought up whosoever will, he said, listen, that doesn't work with God. Why? I said, why doesn't it? He said, and he used this verse. He said, can an Ethiopian change his spots? I mean, can an Ethiopian change his skin? Can a leopard change his spots? No. I said, no, he can't. That's right. He can't. God already preordained and predetermined and predestined what would happen. You're wrong. Listen to me. This is very important. The question is answered in the statement. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Answer yes or no. No. Question. Can a leopard change his spot? Answer yes or no. Can you save yourself? Can you forgive your sin? Can you make a miracle? Can you turn water into wine? Who can? Who can save you? Only Jesus. That's why he says, listen, then you may also do good. If you understand you can't change. You can for a little while. I know there's certain things you can. I know people who've quit drinking or quit doing drugs. Come on. It didn't get them to heaven. Do you understand? It didn't get them to heaven. I was listening to a message yesterday by David Wilkerson, and it said all the good things people do to miss heaven. All the good things people do to miss heaven. And what we do because we think God is like us and we think we're like God, then what we say, you know, I believe God would like this if I did that. I believe God would appreciate me doing this. I believe God doesn't care that I do that. Do you hear me? I remember when the boys were little. In fact, I think Jeffrey was in the first grade and Eric was in the second grade when I started pastoring in 1983. Now their kids are in high school or gone off. And do you hear me? Time goes by when you're having fun. But my family, my mother, father, sisters, wasn't as lucky as my sisters. All three, I have three sisters. And each one of them were luckier than me. Each one of them had a brother. I didn't have near a brother. You'll get that on the way home. But they would plan things, and they would plan them for Sundays. They would call me or call Joe, and I would say, or Joe would say, no, we can't come. We got church. Say amen, somebody. We got church. My sister got on me one time, and she said, listen. She thought I was going to back down. Made me stronger. She said, God doesn't care if you take a Sunday off. God doesn't care if you spend time with your family. Come on, now you're trying to manipulate me. If you'll spend time with your family rather than in church. There's people in this church come to church every other Sunday. Always something to do. Come on. I told you this before. Church should be the reason you do nothing else. Not some reason that you can do away with church on Sunday. What if in the judgment, the angel pulls down the screen and it's got calendar on it. Sunday this date, missed. Sunday this date there. Sunday missed date that. Gone, 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 gone. Sunday that week there. Do you understand? And looked at our record of being in God's house. You don't think we're going to be judged for that? We're going to be judged for everything. Listen, every word we've spoken is going to be judged. Every thought we entertained, whoa, now I'm going to get tight with you, has been and will be judged. Every emotion, every bit of hate, every bit of unforgiveness, every bit of being out of God's order, trying to do good things to make points with God. We're not on the bartering system. Do you hear me? We're not on the bartering system. Jesus Christ gave a bankrupted heaven so that your sins and my sins could be forgiven. He gave His only Son. Would you give one of your children for somebody else? Would you trade the life of your grandchildren for someone else? No, you wouldn't. I wouldn't. Come on, somebody. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. I wouldn't answer the phone. But God, through the foundation of the world, knew before He created Adam and Eve that Adam was going to mess up. Amen? And that Eve was going to blame the devil. And that Adam was going to blame Eve. That's one of our biggest problems. We don't do anything wrong. Every problem that we have, every situation, every circumstance, every calamity that we go through is somebody else's fault. You better get right with God. You're going to bust hell wide open. Jesus took the blame for everything you did and I did. Can you imagine that? We stand there. It's not my fault. Come on, somebody. Oh, yeah, Lord, I'm guilty, but I got a reason. Yep, you do. You're a sinner. Only thing I agree with in Calvinism is, you know, they have what's called the tulip. T is number one, and it stands for total depravity. I believe men are totally depraved. I believe I am. And I believe you are. You just don't know it yet because you ain't heard enough Word of God. And the Word of God hasn't told you. Listen, this is so important. If you think about this, you know, most people today that sit in churches are Christian, not literally, not biblically, but theoretically. Come on, somebody. Theoretically Christians. I ought to preach that one Sunday. Theoretical Christians. What does that mean? That means you've prayed a prayer. That means you come to the altar when the pastor opened up the door, opened up the opportunity to be a Christian, and you came. You didn't come under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You didn't come because of conviction of sin. You came because everybody else came. You came because your friends came. You came because you thought it was the thing to do. But God wasn't in it, and He still isn't in it. The preacher said, you want to give your heart to Jesus? See, we say things that aren't true. Well, you know what I mean, preacher. God knows what I mean. Then say what He means. You want someone to know what someone said, you better be able to quote them word for word. God doesn't have a paraphrased edition. Come on. His word is the most important thing in his existence. Why? Because his word created everything. His word starts hearts. His word ends in the beats of a heart. Do you understand? You are here because his word. Do you hear me? The average church member does not know the word of God. And you know what? The average church member has no love for the word of God, has no desire to know the word of God, has no anxiousness about the word of God, because they don't know the God of the word. Oh yeah, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. I repeated every word that the preacher said to repeat, and I repeated it. And he said, I'm saved now. He said, after I repeated those words, he said, now, do you believe that? Yeah, I believe it, preacher. Then God saves you. Really? Then how come you still act the same way? How come you still hate the same people you hated back then? How come you still love to do the same things you loved to do back then that you knew if you did them, anybody found out about them, it'd cost you? Hello? What will you do? Were you saved? Well, the preacher said I was. Was your life changed? Listen to me. If you get saved, your life will change. If your life does not change, you have not been saved. How do you know? 2 Corinthians 5. Now listen, when God comes into your life, you see, we can get confused by going with God coming into your heart. Why is that? Because there's a big difference. I've heard preachers say this, praying, or he said, well, you know, he or she made Jesus his Savior, but never made him his Lord. Impossible. Impossible. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You got Savior and you got Lord all in the same verse. Two things. You can't have Jesus as Savior and not Lord. And if you got him as Lord, you'll want him as Savior. Amen? Well, Pastor, you know, I believe you can, God, people believe this, that God saves them and puts them back on earth to get by the best way they can. And that's why you stumble and fall continually. Listen, you ready? You ready for some reality instead of theory? Because you've got this that I'm going to repeat to you in theory, but you hadn't got it in reality. You ready for this? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Come on, somebody. What do I do? Where do I go? I've got no friends. I've got no refuge. I've got no help. Where do you go? Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. Every time David got into trouble and made up his own mind, he got into more trouble. But every time he stopped and fell on his face to God and said, what do I do? Look, here's a good one. You ready? What's your plan, God? Yes. No, we make plans and then we ask God to bless them. You're wasting God's time, your time, and everybody else's time. And you probably ought to get killed trying to do what you're doing because God's not in it. Aren't you glad you're not that way anymore if you're really saved? I'm not that way anymore. I'm not that way anymore. People think I'm crazy. What are you going to do, Pastor? I'm going to pray. Are you there? It's just like forgiveness. Do you realize that if you won't forgive, God will not forgive you? Well, I've forgiven. No, you hadn't. You hadn't forgiven. How do you know, preacher? You judging? No, I'm watching you. If you'd forgiven, and I'm not saying you'd forget it because you can't, you're not going to forget it. Hello. But it's like this. When you forgive somebody, it's like saying, I am not going to forget it, but I'm not going to hold it against you. Come on, somebody. You're out of order. Do you hear me? The average church member's been out of order since the day they thought they were saved, but God never moved on their heart. Never happened. I'm not that way anymore. One of the things I've learned, I told you, before I got saved, I was a policeman. And I had the filthiest mouth that if my mother could have heard me talk, she'd have slapped me, knocked me down, kicked me in the face, and then filled me full of Lysol soap. Amen. And I didn't care who was around. Hello. Didn't care. F-bombs rolled off my tongue. God's name in vain rolled off my tongue. Lies rolled off my tongue. Threats rolled off my tongue. A couple weeks after I got saved, I was down at the shop getting gas. And I'm talking to another police officer. And it didn't happen like this, but that's the only way I can explain it. It was like I stepped back out of my body. I didn't get out of my body.
Do you hear me?
I didn't get out of my body. It's the only way I can explain it to you, make you understand. And I'm listening to me talk. And I said to myself, you ain't cussing. Come on, somebody. You're talking like somebody that's got a fifth grade education. I'm so proud of you. Amen. Now, I didn't know why. Because I didn't know the Word of God. Go figure. But about 4 or 5 weeks later, I'm sitting there and I'm reading my Bible. Get a fix on that now. You see, because listen to me, watch my lips. Come on, this is a way to judge your salvation. Do you have a hunger for the Word of God? Not to get knowledge, to get inspiration. Not to preach, to pray. Come on, to do the things of God. If you don't have a hunger for the Word, you better examine yourself whether you be in the faith. So anyways, I'm reading this Bible. And all of a sudden, I get to this line, and I stopped, and I just busted out crying. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. And he says to the Pharisees, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Come on. And I said, that's why I'm not cussing anymore. My heart has been changed. You see, when you make up your mind to stop, and you make up your mind not to, most of the time, it's flesh. Religion moves off of flesh. Pure Christianity in a relationship with Jesus Christ works off the Word. Hello? Do you understand that? One thing about the flesh, it's up, it's down. It's in, it's out. It's okay now, it's not okay. It's okay, it's not okay. Do you understand? But when Jesus Christ gets a hold of you, you're on level ground. Come on. It doesn't matter if doesn't matter about the hill. It doesn't matter about the mountain. It doesn't matter about the valley. It doesn't matter about the swamp. When you've got His hand, you're on level ground. And your footsteps are ordered by the Lord. He doesn't send you a telegram. He doesn't send you a text. He doesn't call you on your phone. He puts His Word in your heart. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That's the words of David. Is it yours? I'm changed. I'm not that way anymore. When you get saved, you start having a love for people. Listen to me. You start seeing people, listen to me. You start seeing people as eternal souls. You start realizing by the Spirit that that person you're talking to, that person you're yelling at, that person you're calling names, that person you're making fun of in 100 years like you will be in heaven or hell. Christians, you ready for this? You're going to stand before Jesus Christ. Even non-Christians will. Even Muslims will. Jesus Christ. Even Hindus are going to stand before Jesus Christ. Every man, woman, boy, or girl who's ever been born is going to stand before Jesus Christ. You that say you love the Lord, let's see. What if he takes you by the hand? Hallelujah. During or after or even before the judgment starts, and he takes you by the hand, he walks you over to the brink of the lake of fire. And all you can see and all you can hear are the damned screaming in eternal torment. And Jesus looks at you and he says, I gave you one job. Come on, somebody. I gave you one job. And I'm telling you this right now. Every one of us in this room, God gave one job. What was it, Pastor? Preach the gospel. Be in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears from the truth unto fables. The church today has nothing but fables. And the average church member has no idea. Amen? They've got no idea. Well, you know what my preacher says? Who cares? I'm not trying to be ugly with you. Everybody ever says that to you, just say, who cares? Morley don't know everything. But here's what happens. When Morley preaches you to the word, there's a confirmation in your heart. If you're saved. If you're not saved, there's conviction. Come on, somebody. Conviction. I told you the word of God preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to make you glad, going to make you sad, or going to make you mad. You can't pick which one. Amen? You can only pick what you're going to do with it. I'm not that way anymore. Listen to Jude. This is good. Jude says this. I want you to understand who Jude was. Go to the book of Jude, the book right before Revelation. It's easy to find. Everybody knows where Revelation is. Amen? Go to the book before it. What's the name of the book before Revelation? Do you know who Jude was? Jude was the brother of who? Jesus Christ. Jesus had two brothers that are written in the scriptures. Jude was number one. James was number two. Do you hear me? Not John's brother. But James, Jesus' brother. Now, Jesus' brother says this. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you remember what you heard last week? What the message was last week? Let me tell you how you could have or you would have remembered if it made you mad. Come on. If it hurt your feelings, if it offended you, you'd have remembered it. If it was something that you knew was not true, you'd remember it. If it was something you could use against the preacher or someone else in the church that you didn't like, you'd remember it. God have mercy on us. Amen. What Jude is talking about, or what God through Jude is talking about, is remember what you've learned of the Word of God. Now see, we're at a way, most church people today are at a place where everything they hear from an anointed man or woman of God is something new. If you think about it. Verse 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Now, I want you to understand this so you don't get mad with me. He's not talking to lost people. He's talking to church people. Say church people. I didn't say Christians. I said church people. Just because you go to church and been baptized, just because you pay your tithes, just because you never miss a night of revival, does not by any stretch of the imagination mean you know Jesus Christ and are a disciple of the same. Do you hear me? You must be born again. Born again doesn't come in theory, doesn't come in a religious package. It comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. If there's any changing in your life that's going to matter when you stand before Christ, He has to make that change through the Holy Ghost and sanctification. A lot of folk don't like that word, sanctified. Sanctification. It means separated. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Separated. Separated from what? From everything the world has to offer. Amen? God didn't call you to be rich. God called you to be righteous. God didn't send His Holy Spirit to make you happy. God sent His Holy Spirit to show you how to become holy. Holiness comes from God. Do you understand? Holiness doesn't get you to Jesus. Jesus gets you to holiness. If you could get holy, if holiness could get you to Jesus, then that means I can make myself holy. You can't, because you can't change your spots. You can't change your skin color. You can do nothing outside of Christ. That's why Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Paul said, listen, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. That contradicts that. No, it doesn't. It confirms that. Number one, don't let when he says, I can do all things, confuse you, meaning that you can do anything you want. That's not what he's saying. He said, you can do anything Jesus tells you to do. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. You can do anything Jesus calls you to do. You can do anything in the Word of God that this book says you need to do. You need to know where you need to go. You can do it. Oh, but I ain't got no money. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I once was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Asking ye shall receive, seeking ye shall find, knocking the door shall be open unto you. Forever ask, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, it's open unto him. Come on, somebody. You have everything. It doesn't come in a box. It comes in a package marked grace. Hallelujah. Grace. Grace, getting something you don't deserve. And that makes you appreciate it more. Hallelujah. What's this? Oh, this is everything you're going to need. Do what I say. Everything you need, everything you need, everything you need. What's in it? You ready? Jesus, the cross, the blood, the Holy Ghost, and the gifts of the Spirit. And amen, when you get all that together, now start thinking about this. It produces the fruit of the Spirit. Well, Pastor, I believe I'd rather have the fruit of the Spirit than them gifts of the Spirit. Well, that's why you don't have near one of them. Amen? Because the fruit of the Spirit is the character and attributes of Jesus Christ. And the average church member does not even know what they are, let alone that they have them or do not have them. Because the God we serve is just like us, amen? And we don't care about it, so I'm sure God doesn't either. I'm not like that anymore. Now listen to Jude. How did he tell you there should be mockers in this last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts? 19, this is good. You ready? These are they which separate themselves. There's that word again. These are they which separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Let me just kind of go over that verse a little bit. These are they who separate themselves. Now listen very carefully. They don't separate themselves from sinners. They separate themselves from saints. Oh, come on, somebody. They don't go to church anymore because all the churches are apostate now. There's no one who believes like me anymore. There's no one that won't hold me back. I go to a church and I've got this degree and I've got that degree and I've been in this for a long time and that for a long time. And I expect the pastor to act accordingly when I walk in and turn it over to me because I've got all this learning. Amen? I know preachers like that. They don't stay in church. They leave church. Why? Because they can't take it over. Come on. Because the pastor's got a backbone. No, better than that. The pastor's got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And because that pastor's got the Holy Ghost, his backbone is made of steel. He walks funny. Come on, somebody. You ever see a man full of the Holy Ghost? He walks funny. Did you ever see a man full of God? He walks funny. He's got his back straight. He's got his shoulders back. And he's just itching for a fight with the devil. And he's got his eyes on you, devil. Because you came there to take over. You came there to show your stuff. You came there to get a name. Well, I tried, and that pastor held me back. Come on. He held me back. He wouldn't let me work in my ministry. He quenched the spirit in my life. So I left. Amen? Let me tell you something. When Jezebel gets exposed, Jezebel hits the road. Amen? Now, here's something interesting. You don't have to be a woman to have a spirit of Jezebel. Men got them too. Plus, not only do they have them also, they also got the spirit of Ahab. You see, the spirit of Jezebel can't work without the spirit of Ahab. Come on. Can't work by herself. Itself. It's a demon. It's a demon. It lives off of control. It lives off of manipulation. It lives off of a love for itself. The spirit of Jezebel always loves narcissistic people. Amen. In fact, Paul writes to Timothy about the last days being full of narcissistic people. In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. What about me, Pastor? What about you? You're supposed to be dead. You're supposed to be crucified with Christ. Hello, somebody. Amen. Until you learn to die to self. What does that mean, to die to self, Pastor? That means that you ready? That means that what you want, your agenda is worthless. Your dreams. Oh, we got this. You got to have big dreams. You know, every Christian should have big dreams about what they're going to do for God, what God's going to do for them. No. My life is hidden Christ. I live, but not I. Christ Jesus liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I die daily. I've got to keep my flesh under subjection. You think dying to self is a one-time thing? No, it's every day. You think repentance is just something you do to get saved? No, it's a lifestyle. Oh, come on, somebody. My favorite psalm is Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me against you. And you only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide thy face from my sin and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Listen to this one. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with your free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You want to preach the gospel, you better get verse 51 tattooed to the inside of your eyelids. Repentance is a lifestyle. We have a doctrine called antinomianism. It's a lie from the pit of hell. I've heard it taught many times. It's almost correct. Amen. I tell you, discernment isn't being able to judge what's right and what's wrong. Discernment is able to detect what's right and what's almost right. Come on, somebody. Antinomianism means against the law or without the law. You ready? When Jesus died on the cross, he saved you from your sin. Yes or no? He saved you from your past sin. Yes or no? He saved you from your present sin. Yes or no? He saved you from your future sin. Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes. The answer to that question is yes. He saved you from your future sin. He saved us from all sin. However, this is where you get the almost right. Future sins. I heard a man saying this is what antinomianism teaches. If that's the truth, Jesus died for my past sins, my present sins, and my future sins, then before I even commit them, God has forgiven me and I don't have to repent for future sins. That's a no. No. You're wrong. Now listen, you ready? Antinomianism, I don't want to get off base. My sin, or God only forgives my sin and your sin. The only sins that God forgives are those, ready? Number one and number two. Number one, that are confessed. Number two, that are repented of. Confession is not repentance. Do you hear me? It's acknowledgement. The word in John, it says if we confess our sin, or 1 John, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many has ever said that? Have you heard that before? If we confess, that doesn't mean like Catholics have to go to the priest and confess their sins. You don't have to tell me anything. I don't want to know. I like you now. Don't make me not like you. You understand what I'm saying? What does it mean, Pastor? It means to acknowledge. David said, I have acknowledged my transgression. What does that mean? I am guilty. I understand it. I accept it. Are you hearing me? I understand I'm guilty, I've sinned, I acknowledge the fact that I'm a sinner. But I deserve death and I deserve hell. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth it shall surely die. I deserve death and I deserve hell. But I'm going to come to you, Lord, as the publican. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen. There's nothing I can do to change my spots, God. There's nothing I can do to change the color of my skin, God. There's nothing I can do, Lord, to earn heaven. There's nothing I can give. There's nothing I can say. There's no place I can go. You are my refuge. You are my salvation. You are my strength. You are my way. You are my door. There's nobody, there's nothing I can do. It's you and you alone. Christ and Him alone. Do you hear me? Lord, I come to you. Here's, you want to do something? You ready? Tell Him. I'm ready to do anything it takes. Amen? Just like the prodigal son. Father, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against God. Make me one of your servants. Told the other servant, he said, go get him a pair of shoes. You see, he was a slave. He had sold himself into slavery. One thing that you didn't have, a slave didn't have, you know what that was? Shoes. He went barefoot. Why? So he wouldn't run away. Not only did he give him shoes, he gave him a ring. The ring represented the authority of the Father. Watch my lips. This ought to make you weep. You who are saved, you who are born again, and you know you've born again, not because mama told you, but by the Holy Ghost confirming it. And by that hunger you have for Jesus. And by that love you have for people. Do you hear me? When that happens, all you can do is sit there in His presence under the foot of the cross and say, Lord, do with me what you will. Forget all this stuff I wanted to do for you, God. It's flesh. It's flesh. It's flesh. I can't do anything without you. I can't change my spots, but you can. I can't change my skin color, but you can. How do you know that? Because the New Testament confirms it. You ready? 2 Corinthians 5. And I'm going to close with this verse. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, we always say that you ought to invite Jesus into your life. Here's where you're in His life. Come on, somebody. Amen? That's a whole lot better. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. God doesn't rebuild you. God doesn't fix you. God doesn't restore what you used to have. God doesn't cause the devil to return to you all your goodies seven times. God makes you into a new creature. God takes that heart of stone and replaces it with a heart of flesh. Hallelujah. 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 That's good stuff. New creation. Listen to this. You ready? Old things pass away. I'm not that way anymore. I'm not that person anymore. I'm not going that direction anymore. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Amen. It's mine. And that's one thing the angel's going to look for, is his or her name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And those whose names were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the only way you get that name in that book is to be born again. Can you get it? Can anybody take it out? Yep. Jesus said, if you take away from this book, I will take your name out of the Book of Life. Can't get much clearer than that. That wasn't John that said that. That was Jesus. Amen. Not only that, if you add to this book, I will add to you the plagues that are written in this book. The Word of God, I told you a minute ago, the Word of God, you better stop playing with the Word of God. You better stop taking Scripture out of context to prove your point or your bad theology. You better start looking at it. And when it talks about you, just say, woe is me. Amen. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me. I've got nothing to bring to deserve salvation. There's nothing I can give you, Lord. If I went out there in the hills of Dahlonega and found a 100-pound piece of gold, what difference would it make to you? You pave your streets with it. Amen? And your streets don't get potholes. Amen? And they don't have ice storms or black ice. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. God cleaned up my mouth, first thing I noticed. Cleaned up a lot of other things. Does that mean you never sin? You still hadn't got it, have you? Come on, somebody. I don't practice the same sins. Amen? But I mess up. Oh, I hate to say use the term mess up. A sin is not a mess up. A sin is not a mistake. A sin is a deliberate act of rebellion against the Word of God. Can I be honest with you? When you hear it that way, it even makes preachers cringe. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Not that way anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I have a new name written down in glory. I have a new robe. I have a new direction. I have a new life. And it only came by one person, Jesus Christ. I've decided to go through the door that's marked Jesus. I've decided to follow the way that's marked Jesus. I'm tired of religion. I'm tired of self-righteousness. I'm tired of doing it my way. Lord, the smartest words ever spoken were spoken by the Apostle Paul. Lord, what will you have me to do? Amen. It's his salvation. It's his life being lived through me. I better get wise enough to give it to him and not do it myself. Because I'm guaranteed to mess it up. I'm guaranteed to get into self-righteousness. I'm guaranteed to get into pride. And pride cometh before destruction. And a haughty spirit always follows pride. And it leads to destruction. Leads to death. Amen? Stand to your feet. I'm finished. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that many people in this room are not that way anymore. But God, what we want to do more than thank you for that, Lord, is thank you for the fact that there's people in this room this morning that you have, because of your love for them, convicted them of their sin. You're not mad at them. You love them. But God's not going to lead you to him without telling you why you need to come to him. The answer is a simple word. It's a little word. The word is sin. And in the center of the word sin, you find what letter? I. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Can you say that? I'm guilty. I've done this job all my life. I thought I had a handle on it until I realized it was without you. Now, God, forgive me, because that's self-righteousness and pride. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me. Wash me, Lord. Reestablish me in your word. Reestablish me in your kingdom. Forgive me. Wash me. Bring to me everything I need through your grace to know your will, to do your will, and have a desire for your will. Save us. Heal us. Deliver us. Baptize us in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And we'll give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Altar's open. Act accordingly.